This is Gridiron Graduates, a weekly podcast covering all things football. Episode number 68, Easter Mode, recorded April 13th, 2017.
Welcome back, folks. 2 weeks until the NFL draft. We are back, Gridiron Graduates, Bill Rossetti. Ian Wharton hit you guys back up as we sit just 14 days as of this recording from the 2017 NFL Draft. It's been a long road. We're hitting the home stretch and we're almost there. Ian, my man, what's going on, brother?
Hey, man, just in that nice little area right between the release of the draft guide and the NFL Draft. So, you know, things are good, man. Just ramping up a little bit for draft coverage. Got some articles coming out here in the next couple weeks over at Bleacher Report, which is kind of nice. I haven't written anything over there in about a year. So, I mean, I did some, you know, stuff throughout the season, but they were, you know, small paragraphs, just like a slider here, a slide or so here and there. Not really a full article or like a full, I mean, they're not even slideshows anymore, but, you know, 32 team breakdown things. So I got a couple of them coming up, so. You know, we're definitely in that time of the year where takes are crazy and, you know, people are swinging big with their takes. So, So it's the best and the worst time of the draft.
Yeah. You have to sit back and remind yourself at this stage of the game that you can't believe everything you hear with a lot of these reports. And I think what we're going to touch on right here sort of falls into that category. And that's the report that came out earlier this week that the Browns are supposedly not, you know, 100% on Myles Garrett at the number one pick. They're apparently still considering a quarterback, perhaps Mitch Trubisky. I personally think this is just a big old smokescreen. I don't believe it one bit. Let me rephrase that. It's fair for them to, you know, at least look at the potential options, like, you know, what they can do with that top pick. But I mean, at this stage, they're simply foolish if they don't take Myles Garrett. And I think any report to the contrary, it is just blowing hot air, or at least trying to, I guess I'll say, stir up drama. Maybe, you know, get the fans, maybe pique their interest a little bit and be like, oh, are they actually going to go somewhere other than Myles Garrett at number one? But I mean, if you've been following along, it's Garrett or bust at this point, and the quarterback will come either at number 12 or possibly moving up. And I think it was even you that I saw the tweet from mentioning about how this could be, or how what the Jets do at 6 can kind of affect what the Browns will do if they want to move up or sit back. Is that kind of what you were getting at?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Trubisky's, I think, the guy that most of the league views as the number one quarterback for various reasons. You know, first reason is that he's got the skill set to come in right away and be effective. You know, he doesn't have the most dynamic skill set. He doesn't have the starts and the experience that Deshaun Watson have. And maybe you're saying, hey, you know, if he's not number one in any of those areas, you know, then why the interest? But he also has the highest floor, I think. He doesn't turn the ball over. He has a good arm. He has room for improvement. He was pretty effective considering his room for improvement and considering his lack of experience. And he progressed from the early part of the year to the latter part of the year in every phase and got better. And so those are definitely things that teams are going to like. And I think he's going to be more of like an average type of quarterback than anything. But, you know, for some teams, if you can get him and, you know, reach that potential quickly in his career, that could save jobs, and that could maximize some teams. You know, if you look at the Cleveland Browns or the New York Jets specifically, both of those teams could use a guy who can step in right away and be productive, and those could be playoff contender-type teams. So, I definitely understand that. And yeah, you're right. I did hint towards that. If I'm the Browns, you have all these assets. The only team that might take Trubisky, unless if he goes two or three, so say he makes it past two or three, they may have it on good intel that neither the Bears or the 49ers are going to take Trubisky. And that's where it comes into having good scouts and having good relationships across the league and knowing agents well. But say neither of those two teams take Trubisky, well, the next threat might be the Jets at number six overall. And if the Jets don't take him, then maybe you're looking at number 10 at Buffalo, number 11, New Orleans. So I think a trade-up is necessary. And the Browns have all these assets. What's it hurt to move 12 and maybe 54 to jump that competition? If you walk away with this draft with Myles Garrett, your number one quarterback, whoever it may be in this class, and then the 33rd pick in the draft, it doesn't really matter what else you do in this draft. You could miss on the rest of your picks. You could get a decent defensive player at 33, hit on the quarterback, and you hit on Garrett, and it doesn't matter. The rest does not matter. So I absolutely think that there's some truth to it, but we have seen the Browns linked to every single quarterback at this point, which is not surprising. So who knows if it's actually going to be Trubisky as the target. We can feel confident, though, with that second first-round pick, though, that they are going to go quarterback. I think that much is as obvious as anything in this draft class.
Yeah, so it'll be fun to watch, see if they actually do trade up. I was starting to wonder if you were going to talk about them possibly moving up to five to jump ahead of the Jets. But, even if they sit back and wait and see what the Jets do at six, sure they'd be comfortable maybe going after someone like Deshaun Watson if they want to trade up for him. Because like you said, they've been connected to just about every quarterback and for good reason. So, I mean, they're obviously one of the players in this draft as far as all the assets they have, like you said. So, they're in the driver's seat. It's not every day you get to say that about the Cleveland Browns, them being in the driver's seat of anything, but they're in a good position. And like you said, I think they have a good chance to really come away here as one of the top dogs in this draft and throughout this offseason if they can get Garrett and their quarterback and whoever they land at the top of round two. Another note that came up this week, looks like Marshawn Lynch, get your Skittles ready. He sounds like he's coming back. Reports coming out that the Seahawks and Raiders could soon begin talking a trade for Marshawn Lynch, as it sounds like it's contingent on the Raiders and Marshawn Lynch coming to terms on the new contract, and then they would discuss trade terms. So it's sounding more and more realistic and more that it's going to become reality that Marshawn Lynch is going to be an Oakland / soon to be Las Vegas Raider.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's just going to be a swap of late round picks. So I don't think it's going to be really any, basically very minimal to no real compensation value for the Seahawks, which is a credit to them. If they're not holding him hostage like the Cowboys were with Tony Romo. And so we'll see how it works out. Lynch struggled a little bit in his last year, and I'm not really counting on him being great. But I am counting on him being potentially an upgrade as far as situational or maybe a part-time running back. And not. And when I say that, I don't mean a backup. And we talked about this before, but if you can get him and another stud running back, and if Lynch is even 80% of the Lynch that we know, that's going to be a heck of a backfield. And it's the same thing being said for Adrian Peterson, although I think there's probably more reason to be more pessimistic on Peterson than there is Marshawn Lynch. If you have a good offensive blocking line, and by the way, the Seahawks, compared to the Raiders, are very similar as far as they are high-end run-blocking lines. Now, the Seahawks aren't going to be at all confused with a good pass-blocking line, but the Raiders can do both. They're right there up with the Cowboys and a couple other teams. I think the Lions are going to be a team that's going to be regarded in that class very soon as well, and the Browns, obviously, too. Just great overall lines. And that's going to be beneficial to Derek Carr. I think Lynch will be a solid starter, even if, like I said, 80% of what he can bring to the table is still dangerous. So I'm just excited. I'm excited to see it. I'm excited to see him potentially back on the field. It'd be interesting to see what the compensation for him is. It sounds like that's the big hang-up right now. And you know, I don't know how much you can honestly justify paying him. They have a ton of cap space, but I don't know what their cash flow situation is looking like, and that's always a factor as well. So, you know, obviously with them moving to Las Vegas, generally speaking, it's probably not great. But, yeah, I'm just fascinated to see Beast Mode back in the NFL, and I certainly want to see it. Hopefully this is a deal that gets done. I'm going to assume that it's going to be done before the draft or even draft day. Mm-hmm.
And kind of on the Las Vegas note, I think I want to touch on this real quick too before we jump back into the draft previews. This whole what's turning into a hypocritical situation. Recently there was that arm wrestling contest in Las Vegas and some current NFL players took part in it. And it comes out now that those players are going to get fined because they violated the personal conduct policy, because I guess NFL players can't do anything as far as like casinos are related or events held at the casino. You know, we saw it a couple of years ago when Tony Romo tried to have his fantasy football event at that one Vegas casino and the NFL shut it down. But, oh, by the way, you're moving a franchise to Las Vegas, which is the gambling capital of the world. So,
yeah.
It's, where's the line? Where do you draw the line here? Like, this is really fishy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And I mean, the question, and the thing is, and my answer is, I don't know. Like, I really have no clue what the NFL is going to do, how they're going to handle these situations. I mean, this was obviously a very unique situation with the arm wrestling tournament in Vegas, these guys getting fined. I mean, I don't think we've ever heard of that before. So, you know, I'm going to assume that there's going to be more to this, that more things like this, that, I mean, unless if players just look at this and they just completely avoid it, moving on, maybe they do, you know, they obviously probably got that message very loudly and very, very clearly. So, yeah, I don't know. I tend to think, hey, players are going to make mistakes potentially just because of all of this gray area. But, you know, good luck to the Raiders and to teams that are going to be visiting them. I'm sure that the NFC teams are happy that they're not going to be seeing the Raiders too often. You know, I think they play every couple of years, every 4 years or so they rotate, or every 8 years, something like that. It's a number
every
like that.
Every 8 years you visit the opposite conference city, yeah.
That's right. So yeah, you play them every four, and you're going to the every eight. So, oh boy, I hope it works out well. I really do. I feel like the NFL, they're going to put a team there, and it's just setting them up to fail as far as off-the-field things. I mean, I don't know how you can sit there and say that they can't arm wrestle. Like, it's so bizarre to me, but, you know.
Especially when, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're good.
Especially when you see Rob Gronkowski. And now, personally, I didn't have a problem with this. I thought it was pretty cool. But some others are probably going to have a problem with it, I'm sure. But seeing Rob Gronkowski at WrestleMania, you know, and the NFL is going to be upset at people, at players in an arm wrestling contest, and then they see their one of their star tight ends and star players in general taking part in WrestleMania. Now, obviously, you know, when it comes to something like that, I'm sure they went over every possible angle and made sure everything was fine. Although it looks like the one security guard came out to try to stop Gronk. It seemed like she had no idea what was going on, and it was all part of the match going on that he was coming out. But, you know, so it's weird. And I don't know what the NFL is going to do. Like you said, they're in a tough spot.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So, you know, who knows what's going to come out, you know, as time goes on. But you know, early returns, I think, will definitely cause some confusion. And, you know, for ownership, I can't imagine that they're going to sleep well at night worrying about some of these. I mean, then again, it's, you know, Mark Davis. I mean, he's not. It's not like the Davis family's ever been too concerned about off the field, as long as on the field's getting taken care of. But, you know, I just hope players, and I'm not saying that players are dumb, but all it takes is a couple. All it takes is a couple of knuckleheads that, you know, go overboard or, you know, maybe get involved with the wrong crowd and things just don't go well. I mean, obviously they have teams in Miami, they have teams in other big cities like that have a lot of temptations. And, you know, Miami's had issues like that with some guys, where they just can't handle the city and they go elsewhere and they buckle down a little bit and it helps them. So it ought to be fascinating.
So let's jump back into these division previews, and if there's any time left over, a couple other notes. But yeah, so let's jump back into it. We're onto the South divisions now. So we get to talk about the wonderful AFC South, the great AFC South. Whee! Everybody's favorite division. We'll start with the Houston Texans. And by George, do they need a quarterback? When you look and, you know, looking at rlads.com, which, you know, and I'm sure I speak free on this as well, a fantastic resource as far as depth charts go and just keeping track of everything. They do a fantastic job. You look at their roster, and Tom Savage, the great Tom Savage, and Brandon Whedon, the dynamic duo there. That's their listed quarterbacks right now. So to say that they need a quarterback, especially now that Tony Romo has retired, I think is just a little bit of an understatement.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And
the question is, do they go round one quarterback?
Yeah, that's a question. And I think another question for them is, how confident are they that they could still acquire a veteran? You know, there's still Colin Kaepernick out on the market. There's still Tony Romo. Even though Tony Romo retired, I still think he could be swayed with the right offer. And Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler's still on the market. Mm-hmm. I think each of these three guys is very, very easily an extremely noticeable upgrade on the Tom Savage, Brandon Whedon 1-2 punch there. You know, Savage, I didn't really like what I saw last year in him, but I think he is probably as equal to Osweiler as he could be, without probably the same downsides of Osweiler, and that really Savage, even if he stays where he's at, he's not going to be worse than Osweiler. I just don't think he's going to be much better either. So, you know, quarterback has to be the number one focus still this offseason. I'm a little bit confused as to what this team's plan is, because they really didn't do anything in free agency. They didn't sign anybody noticeable. All they did was lost talent. They lost John Simon. They lost AJ Bouye. They didn't make any moves at safety. They didn't fill any of those holes. Now, they are getting J.J. Watt back, but, you know, who knows if he's going to be the same guy. They didn't fill any of these offensive line holes. Getting back Nick Martin healthy, the center of their second-round pick last year, will be a tremendous boost. But they still have needs along this offensive line, and they still don't have a quarterback. I'm very confused as to what their offseason strategy was. I feel like they just slept through it. And for them, I think they need to put all of their eggs. I don't think they're going to even have a chance at one of the top four quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And if they don't, then they're going to have to put all of their eggs into one of the veteran quarterbacks. Personally, if I'm them, I'm making a big push to Romo. But if I can't get Romo, I'm trying to get Jay Cutler on the phone. And hopefully that the Texans will invest at least a mid-round pick into a quarterback, maybe someone that they like, and back up Cutler or whatever they do.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. You know, they got to do something there. Next up, we will talk about the team that I will say right now, and I'm sure a lot of people probably share this sentiment as well. I don't know how you feel, but I would say right now this is the team to beat in the AFC South, and that's the Tennessee Titans. I mean, we talked about the Browns being in a really good position. Titans are in a solid position themselves, sitting with two of the top 18 picks. I'm trying to think where they sit, because I know they have quite a handful of picks in the first couple rounds themselves.
Yeah, 5 and 18 specifically in the first.
Yep. So they're in a real good position. I mean, obviously, this was a near playoff team last year, and now they're sitting with a top 5 pick after they basically played highway robbery with the Rams last season. And, you know, now, did we expect it to be a top 5 pick? Maybe, maybe not, but obviously it worked out for the Titans. So they're in a real good position to maybe get a high-quality wide receiver with that pick. There's been a lot of mock drafts connecting them to O.J. Howard with one of those picks. Corner, I think they could use solid at corner, although they did get Logan Ryan in free agency. They got Jonathan Cyprian at safety, but I don't think another corner would be a bad idea. And again, wide receiver certainly possible. You know, if they want to get a guy like Mike Williams, you know. So there's, I think, really at this point, it's about building the offense. I think if they can kind of get that offense going, get some more playmakers, really help out Marcus Mariota. You're probably looking at the division champs here, like I said earlier. I think this is a team that really, the quick turnaround last season, I don't think is going to be a fluke. I think this is a team that's really on the rise and could certainly be a force in that division for maybe the next couple of years. I know that sounds like a bit of a hot take, but hey, if I'm going to get into this, I might as well start building some hot takes. You know, don't at me, though.
No, yeah. I don't think it's that crazy. Yeah, they went 9-7 last year, and obviously they have two premium picks. I don't think that's crazy at all. Now, it was very surprising that they released their veteran cornerback and the longest tenured member of the team, Jason McCourty.
Yeah.
And that was really shocking to see that today. McCourty's played well for them. I don't think he's ever hit the level, like the elite level, but I think he's a solid starting corner. And certainly, I'm scratching my head, and it looks like it came down to money. This team has a ton of cap space. So I really didn't understand that move at all. It opens up a massive hole in a unit that still needed another body at that cornerback position. So they'll have a nice trio at corner with another pick, and I think at number 5, I think Marshawn Lattimore just makes way too much sense. If he's still on the board there, which is not a guarantee, I think he's got to be the guy. at number four, he's got the potential to be a fantastic shutdown corner, and they could use that, and that would allow LaShawn Sims, who was a breakout rookie last year, and Logan Ryan, who was a nice free agency pickup. You'd have a nice little trio there to build around, as well as Denora Searcy, Jonathan Cyprian, and Kevin Byard. Just a really good safety unit there, potentially, especially if Searcy can step up a little bit, play a little bit better than what he did last year. But and then with the 18 pick, you're right, they could use a wide receiver. I don't think Mike Williams is going to be on the board there, but if he is, he'd be a nice change of pace to this unit. Corey Davis would be a great fit. John Ross would be a fantastic fit. I think this team is going to be hard-pressed to go wrong in this class unless if they just simply miss out on the names that I've mentioned. And if they do, they may be forced to take in a guy. I wouldn't take Mike Williams this high, but I think that the NFL likes him a lot more. But if they have to take Mike Williams at 5 and then a corner at 18, that's not a terrible backup plan. Because, again, you're looking at the needs of this roster. You're saying, they need maybe a defensive lineman. They could use another linebacker. They could use another rush linebacker. Could absolutely, like I mentioned, corner, maybe a right guard. But those are minor. Those are smaller needs. You really need receiver and corner. And then I'd probably prioritize after that another defensive lineman. Just because you really can't have enough of those guys anyways. So it's good to have good young bodies at those positions. So you're right, though. I'm with you. I think Tennessee has to be the favorite to win the division right now, although I think the next team that we'll probably go to, the Indianapolis Colts, yep. I don't think they're too far behind them.
No, I think they're trying to build back up, especially now that they have a competent general manager and Chris Ballard, so I think they're starting to build some young pieces and really try to grow this team back up. It seems like they're really getting a bunch of edge rushers, linebackers. It seems like that's been kind of the big focal point of the Colts offseason so far. Obviously, one of the big moves as far as subtractions go was trading Dwayne Allen to the Patriots, leaving Jack Doyle, who they gave a new contract to, as the main guy, although I know there's people that certainly like Eric Swoop as well. So at least there's two decent tight ends after Doyle kind of came out of nowhere last season, at times in place of Dwayne Allen. Overall, you could probably still use some help on defense, and probably a running back down the line as well. Although it feels like we say this every year, like how much does Frank Gore have left? And every year he always quietly has a productive season. I think down the line you're probably looking somewhere, maybe mid to late rounds at a running back, and then maybe some offensive line help. So just grab whatever pieces they can. Again, it feels like Ballard's just taking a get young players and just develop and try to rebuild and reload at the same time.
Yeah, and I think he had a nice free agency class. Getting Kamar Aiken, I thought, was a nice acquisition in free agency. The offensive line is not in bad shape, and I know they get a lot of heat for it, but, they've got Anthony Cansanzo, Jack Newhart, Ryan Kelly from center to left tackle. That's a pretty set group. Mm-hmm. That's a group that you really don't have to touch. Costanzo, I think, is a guy that you could potentially upgrade on in the future. They do have LaRaven Clark as the backup tackle. It'd be interesting to see if he flips over to the right side, or does he just train to be the backup left tackle. What their plan is with Clark will be interesting, but he was a major project as well when they took him out of Texas Tech. And Brian Schwenke is going to compete with Denzel Good and Joe Haig, I think, on that right side at right guard guard specifically, Goody, I think is how he says it, but Denzel Goody. So, I mean, there's enough competition there. This line should be fine. I wouldn't mind them adding another versatile piece, especially, what I would do, Mock, is I gave him Cam Robinson in the second round. I don't think Robinson's going to fall that far, but I also don't think that they're in a position to turn down great value. So if they can find a great value to compete along that offensive line, they should. But you're right, though. I think the biggest need on this offensive side of the ball is probably a running back of the future, and then just more depth on that right side of the line. Otherwise, defensively is where I'm going to really look to invest my assets. They've got Henry Anderson coming back from injury. Hopefully he can fully recover. If he does, he's a starter on this defensive line. Hassan Ridgeway proved last year he's one of my favorite draft sleepers. Really broke out and played well. The other defensive line positions aren't good. David Perry's not really a good nose tackle. They did sign Al Woods, which is kind of a nice competition piece for nose tackle. The other defensive line spot needs to be filled. They don't have any competent depth there. They got Marcus Hunt, but Hunt's not good. But then they added some pass rushers, and this is where it's a little exciting. They got John Simon, Jabal Sheard. These aren't guys that are going to be game changers as far as like number one pass rushers, but I really like them as hustle guys, as effort guys who are versatile. They can bring some stuff to the table there. And again, though, they need help, though. They need one more pass rusher. They need at least one inside linebacker. They need at least one or two corners. And I'd say they need safety. They may need safety help, depending on what they plan to do with T.J. Green. If they want to use T.J. Green at corner, then that helps check off a need there. But if they're going to keep him at free safety, then they don't need a safety anymore. Then they would just need probably two corners, in my opinion. So they need a lot of help on defense. We know that. They need playmakers. They need playmakers and game changers. I would look for them to add a guy. If they could get Reuben Foster somehow in this draft, that would really be a home run pick for them.
Let's go to Jacksonville, who, you would think after, you wouldn't think after a couple years ago that we'd be talking about them possibly looking quarterback. Probably not early, but it sounds like down the line, maybe they'll bring someone new in. There's a new regime, new head coach, new staff. So we'll see how they feel on Blake Bortles. Obviously, they won one of the big free agency prizes again, just like last year with Malik Jackson and A.J. Boye. Brought in Barry Church as well. So, we talked before about how this secondary is on paper looks fantastic. We'll see how it plays out on the field. Brought in Michael Rivera at tight end. Because, of course, they did trade Julius Thomas, who kind of faded away, as it were, down in Jacksonville. Never really got going. Now he's in Miami. Probably a better fit for him. They do bring in Brandon Albert to be left tackle now. No more Luke Jokel. He kind of not necessarily flamed out, but certainly never lived up to the expectation you would have for a number two overall pick. So he's now in Seattle. So, really, I think it's probably just about grabbing playmakers, although in all likelihood, they'll probably just grab another defensive lineman like they seem to do every year. I know Solomon Thomas seems to be a name that's been pegged to the Jaguars a lot, maybe Jonathan Allen, so... It just feels like that's what the Jaguars are anymore. They're just building whatever they can on defense, just grabbing a zillion players and just plugging whatever they can on that defense to, try to stop guys like Andrew Luck and Marcus Mariota at this point.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing is that they continually invested in guys who aren't huge playmakers. And, you know, it's hard, man. Like, when that's the thing is, like, you take a guy like Dante Fowler, it was just such a bad misevaluation on him. He should have never been taken that high. And, you know, they've now got to be able to look at the mirror and say, hey, we've got to make a decision on this guy. And if, yeah, I don't think Solomon Thomas is going to be on the board there for them. But, you know, Yannick Ngakoue is their best pass rusher. And it's not even close. You know, I'm not optimistic on Fowler because he's an effort type of player. And while there's value in that, I think it's a limited value in that. And so, I'm looking at their slot and I'm saying, okay, are they going to get screwed in the sense that are they going to miss out on the very best players, like the top couple players in this draft? And if they aren't, then who falls to them? And are they willing to make a sacrifice and maybe, you know, pick a position that maybe they already have a lot of investment in there? Specifically looking at safety, like Tashawn Gibson was bad last year, but he just signed a big free agent contract. Blake Bortles, you could argue that maybe it's time for them to just move on from Blake Bortles. Wouldn't that shock the world? If they go up there and they take Mitch Trubisky, or they take Deshaun Kizer, or they take Deshaun Watson, and then they trade Blake Bortles, yeah, it probably would. And maybe it's a little early for them to cut that cord, but I also wouldn't blame them. I honestly wouldn't blame them because Bortles is such a wreck. You know, this team doesn't need a whole lot. They could use maybe some competition at several spots, especially along the offensive line, and a wide receiver. But, you know, their starting line is kind of set, you know. And if you're picking at number four, I think O.J. Howard makes a lot of sense. It's very high to take him. I think at running back, they're probably going to consider that position. If I'm going to predict it, I think they do take Leonard Fournette at number four. But, you know, it's just not ideal. It's not ideal where they're drafting. I think both of those guys, it's a little high for both of them, even though I love Howard specifically. They're not in a great position here. And if I'm them, I wouldn't blame them if they went quarterback at four. And if they could trade Bortles for like a third round pick, and I think there would be interest in him at that price, I would probably recommend doing that and trying again, just restarting it with him, because he's just not good. He never took the next step. I had a day two grade on him coming out, and it's easy to see why. So I think the Jags are in big trouble, even though they have a good roster.
Which is a shame, too, because, you know, if you guys know me, you know that I've been really high on this team the last couple years. I've had somewhat high expectations, really thought they turned around, and obviously it hasn't happened yet, and that's why they have a new head coach. So, you know, kind of unfortunate to see. I was really hoping to see this team turn it around, but shame. Let's go over to the NFC South, and we'll start, of course, with the team most known now for 28-3. Let's put it that way. but, I mean, let's be honest. The Falcons are still going to be one of the top teams in the conference, obviously. They, you know, lot of players coming back. You know, the defense is young, as we saw last year, but played outstanding. Guys like Vic Beasley, obviously, led the league in sacks. Deion Jones had a fantastic rookie year. Devondre Campbell played well. And then, of course, you know, their top corner, Desmond Trufant, just locking up that extension. So they're pretty set now at the corner spots with Trufant and Alford. Keanu Neal played well. So this is certainly a defense that's really rising. So you look at their roster, right? Not really a whole lot of needs, I would say, that really jump out for the Falcons. I don't know. What are you thinking with the Falcons here at number 31?
Yeah, you know, I'm with you here. It's not a team with a lot of glaring needs. You're going to be looking at competition here. At the right guard position, I'd like to see them possibly add Dan Feeney from Indiana, or right tackle Taylor Moton, who he would then kick into right guard. It's a bit of a premium to pay for that position, but that would really complete their offensive line and make it a great unit, along with some of the teams I mentioned earlier. Otherwise, along the offense, I'm not sure they need any other help on the offensive side of the ball. And I would start to look at the defense, and I would say, okay, we need another edge rusher in this mix. They don't have another great edge rusher outside of Vic Beasley. It's more of a depth type of unit that wears you down with depth. I would say that we could use another safety next to Keanu Neal. I don't think Ricardo Allen is a starting caliber safety in the NFL. I think you want to add some competition there, and I would say maybe at weak side linebacker, Devondre Campbell showed some things as a rookie, but maybe on day two, day three, you'll look to add some competition to his spot as well. So Atlanta's in a good position. They can kind of play the board a little bit and look to get some great value picks for them.
Another team that's had a pretty decent offseason, you know, bringing in guys like DeSean Jackson, Tampa Bay, you know, another team that just feels like they try to do what they can on the defense, you know, bringing in all these guys over the last couple of years. It's kind of looking at their roster right now. Offensive line, I think, looks pretty decent. You know, I'm kind of stumbling a bit here, but looking at their roster, not too much jumps out. Running back, I think, is probably the big question on offense, because the future of Doug Martin is certainly up in the air. You know, there was the talk that maybe they were even going to cut him long ago. He's still on the team, but certainly first-round running back, second-round running back, not out of the question. You know, maybe a guy like Dalvin Cook, if he's, you know, even if Tampa waits till round two, possibly Cook if he's still there with the way his stock's been falling. So, yeah, that's certainly one way I think Tampa Bay can go early on.
Yeah, for sure. And I think they're in one of the unique positions where they could go back-to-back offense and really be aggressive in upgrading this unit around Jameis Winston. And you're right, we heard talk that maybe Doug Martin would be cut, and he hasn't been. And I don't think he should be, as far as just blindly cutting him. That's a risky move. But, you know, outside of DeSean Jackson and Mike Evans, they don't have a whole lot at receiver. Josh Huff played well last year in limited time. Adam Humphries has kind of flashed a little bit. But it would be very interesting to me, and this is what I would do if I'm the Buccaneers. In the first round, I'm taking Joe Mixon. And this is a team that's familiar with a similar type of off-field issue as Mixon with Jameis Winston. Quite frankly, he had one incident, and then he had a meter maid incident. Okay, those aren't to be shaken off. Those aren't to be, you know, just dismissed as unmeaningful. I don't want to come off as callous. I don't want to come off as someone who doesn't value character and dismissing of a terrible thing that he did. But the NFL doesn't care. Okay, we know this. They only cared about Ray Rice because he was at the end of his career anyways. If I'm the Buccaneers, okay, my number four player on my board is Joe Mixon. I'm taking Joe Mixon, and then in round two, I'm coming back and I'm taking Ryan Switzer, the wide receiver out of North Carolina. Literally the perfect slot receiver. And I wouldn't be done there. I would add another receiver on day three of the draft, because Jameis Winston needs as much help as possible. And I would add as much offensive line help as I need. I would add a right tackle of the future at some point as well. So, and you know what? If you think you can get Switzer in round three, then that's fine. Another, you know, I mentioned Taylor Moton. He would be another guy in consideration for the Buccaneers. It's not a great offensive tackle draft, so I think if you need a tackle, you need to take him kind of early. But I'm looking heavily at the career, or at the at the career of Jameis Winston, and saying, how can we maximize this? Mm-hmm. How can we make the next 4 to 5 years of his career peak as quickly as possible and reach the highest level possible? So, and to me, that would be exactly how I would attack it. So, you know, and that's not to say that defensively they don't have needs. They could use another edge rusher. They could use another defensive tackle, you know, especially as depth. Even though I really like that they got Chris Baker and Steele Versilgia, they still have some room on their roster to add a couple of guys, especially outside linebacker too. Maybe that's like the number one defensive need, but you know, I'm looking at the offense and saying that the biggest needs are on that side of the ball, and that matches up with this class nicely. Even if you mentioned Dalvin would be a great pick in round two if they want to get Garrett Bowles in the first round or someone like that.
And I like that way of thinking, because I think you're right. It is about surrounding Jameis and trying to make him successful. You know, this team was on the cusp of the playoffs pretty much up until the very end. Now it's about taking that next step and, you know, adding more weapons, like you said. You know, because I think you're right. You know, the top two are set in Evans and Jackson, and Cameron Bray had a nice coming out party. I think the Switzer pick would be really nice. You know, I really liked what I saw out of him down in Mobile. So, in an offense like this, I think he'd be fun to watch. You know, and I'm a fan of Taylor Moton out of Western Michigan. So, grab him, plug him at right tackle. All of a sudden, you've got a pretty solid line there. I think Smith and Moton is your bookend tackles. Marpet on the interior, Holly at center. That's a pretty solid line if you can get someone, because it's like you said, it's not a good tackle class. It's really kind of top heavy. So get your guys early if you can and kind of go from there. So I think if that would be a fascinating strategy for Tampa Bay if they want to go that way. Let's talk the New Orleans Saints next. And you had mentioned New Orleans earlier when we were talking about the Browns and the quarterback talk with them, because it is certainly getting to the point where they're going to have to look at the quarterback of the future. You know, it's kind of surreal to say, but because it feels like he's been there forever, you know, especially with how the big contracts. But Drew Brees is in a contract year. Drew Brees is a free agent at the end of the season, and obviously he's getting up there in age. I believe he's, 39 or close to 40? So he, 38. Excuse me. Turned 38 in January, so still, certainly up there in age. Will they go quarterback round one? I don't know. They did lose Brandon Cooks, or traded him to New England, but I think part of that was because they like what they have in Michael Thomas, they like what they have in Willie Snead, who are certainly cheaper options as well. They did give the contract extension to Terron Armstead, their left tackle. Brought in Larry Warford, who I think was a pretty good lineman, pretty good guard in Detroit, and he'll slide in New Orleans. So yeah, you got a solid offensive line there. Armstead, Pete, Unger, Warford, and Streif. We'll see if Leaner kind of bounces back, because he had a so-so first year in New Orleans, I should say. But obviously the focus, I think, is on the defense, especially the back end. You know, can Kenny Vaccaro get back to the form that he had in his rookie year? Because he certainly has kind of been up and down ever since then. Dalvin Bro, I think, is a pretty decent corner. You know, PJ Williams hasn't played bad. Von Bell. But overall, I think you just got to get bodies in there and just do what you can to just build this defense back up, because it's been a shell of itself for a couple years.
Yeah, for sure. No, I agree with that. And yeah. And to go off of that point is they got to get healthy bodies in there.
Yeah.
You know, Haile Kakaha hasn't been healthy. PJ Williams, as you mentioned, he's looked good when he's played, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. You know, who knows what he is? Delvin Bro, great rookie season 2 years ago. Well, last year broke his leg, came back, didn't look the same. So is he healthy? Who knows? But they've got some nice pieces. They did a good job of investing in this defense the last couple of years. Nick Fairley was a great free agent signing. Sheldon Rankins was a nice first-round pick. I think he was a little rich in the first round, but he played decently last year, and you could see the upside with him. Mm-hmm. If Kakaha is healthy, he'll be a nice starter. And they have Stephon Anthony, a guy who they didn't really play much last year. Mentally, I don't really think he's in it. I wouldn't be surprised to see if he's a guy that maybe they move on from at some point. But they're going to bring him to camp and see if maybe he can get it. Craig Robertson, A.J. Klein, Mansi Tao. Tao's, you know, really more of a backup at this point, but Klein is going to start. Danelle Ellerby, you know, they've got some guys who can at least be worthy of being on the field and contributing with their snaps. And I think that this is a close to being it's a below-average defense, but it's closer to being average than it is being awful. And that is a huge step up for them. Now it's a matter of, okay, we need one more edge rusher for sure. That's got to be the number one priority in this draft. They need another cornerback for sure, just because you cannot afford to get down to Sterling Moore, Ken Crawley, and Damian Swan. Like, those guys can't be playing major snaps for you. So I think with their first two picks, they've got to look at those two positions. And it does, you know, the good thing for them is that if the class depth is built up in that sense for them to add those talents. So, and you know, I wouldn't even blame them if they went Reuben Foster either. Let me throw that out there too. A linebacker unit of AJ Klein, Reuben Foster, and Haile Kakaha / Stephon Anthony / Travis Feeney / Danelle Ellerby and Craig Robertson. Like, that's a lot of bodies that you can just find the best combination of. So mm-hmm. I would actually be a big fan of that.
And last but not least in this group here, it's interesting you mentioned A.J. Klein. We'll kind of segue there. Klein's former team, the Carolina Panthers, who obviously had the big drop-off after the Super Bowl year going 6-10. But certainly there's still talent, I think, on this team. They did franchise tag Kawan Short, which I think was kind of the obvious call there. You know, you needed to lock him up. He's really been your best interior lineman. Brought back Julius Peppers, so a nice homecoming of sorts there. Peppers back in Carolina. Captain Munnerlin. James Bradbury at corner. You know, so interesting setup there on defense, but you know, a lot of talk certainly has been running back for the Panthers with that first pick. I know Leonard Fournette has been kind of plugged there at times. You've said earlier that you think Fournette's going to go to Jacksonville, so he may not be there at number 8 for the Panthers, but I think running back is still certainly a way that they're probably going to go at some point, maybe within the first couple of rounds. You know, Jonathan Stewart can still run the ball, but obviously you can't rely on him to be healthy for 16 games. And, you know, decent behind him. You know, Cameron Artis Payne has shown flashes. Fozzie Whitaker is a nice change of pace back, but if they can get that solid number one workhorse running back, I think you're back to having a strong offense there in Carolina.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, they need, you mentioned running back. I think they could also use another wide receiver too.
Mm-hmm.
In my mock, I actually gave them Corey Davis. I wouldn't be surprised if they look at O.J. Howard either. They don't have consistent enough weapons. They lost Ted Ginn. You know, this team gave Matt Khalil a huge free agent contract. I feel bad for Cam Newton. It's a mess. This offense is, it's effective enough, but it's being carried so heavily by the guys in the backfield that even losing one of them for an extended period of time is going to make their season a disaster. And last year was already rough enough. A lot of people predicted that they would struggle, and they did. You know, they were not a good team last year, and I'm worried that they're going to continue to fall. They're a team that has not valued athleticism in the draft and in free agency. And while that's not everything, it is meaningful. You have to be athletic, especially playing teams like Atlanta Falcons. Look how athletic they are. Look how athletic the New Orleans Saints have gotten in recent years. And these teams are creating mismatches because of how well they move. And bringing back a guy like Captain Munnerman, who was pretty bad last year, that's a weird move. They needed a slot corner, and he's okay, but they gave him a lot of money to do that. Mike Adams, that dude can barely run at this point in his career. Getting him from Indianapolis. James Bradbury, he's an up-and-coming corner. I like him. I don't love him. He's got to find that consistency, and maybe he will. But as a second-round corner last year, I would expect him to do a lot more this year. But Peppers, you know, Julius Peppers and Charles Johnson were drafted, you know, Julius Peppers back in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Johnson a full 10 years ago. You know, he's an older guy, too. And he's definitely slowed down in recent years. So this team needs a lot of talent, and they've got to hit on their first three or four picks to really jumpstart this rebuild. And it's not even like a true sense of the rebuild. They're trying to compete and rebuild, but it's so hard to do that.
Yeah, no, for sure. So we'll see. It should be an interesting year, I think, for the Panthers. You know, it'd be nice to see them bring it together, but I don't know. Especially in this division now, it's gotten really tough. So that wraps up the South divisions, which means we've got one more pair of divisions to go. We'll do that next week when we talk about the AFC and NFC West divisions. And then it's draft week. I think the week after that, Ian and I will, at some point, probably before we record, do a mock draft, and then we'll discuss it, and we'll get ready for the big event. So it's fast approaching, my friend.
Yeah, man, I'm really excited to be there to really get this thing up and started. It's obviously, like most people, it's my favorite event of the year, and you know, I just can't wait to sit down. Enjoy the action, enjoy the drama, and then, you know, get to breaking it down a little bit afterwards. But, you know, really, really moving on with this class. I like this class a lot. It's a lot of good talent available in it.
Absolutely. One last thing before we get out of here, because I want to get your take on this. This is, I know some of y'all are going to say stick to football, because this is non-football, but got to talk about Ian's Cavs real quick before we get out of here. Number two seed in the East, draw the Pacers in round one. What do you think, man, about the NBA playoffs? What's the outlook there?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about it. We've really struggled this year. Part of that is injuries. Part of that is not being able to get any consistency with guys in and out of the lineup. And it's going to be a struggle, but this team's going to lock in. And I think there's very little question in my mind that they're going to reach the finals, and then it's just a matter of who they play. I don't think that anyone will beat the Warriors, honestly. I just, you know, you look at how good that they are, especially with Kevin Durant. It would just take monumental effort, and it already took a huge one last year for the Cavs to overcome that Warriors team. And the Warriors are a little bit weaker in terms of depth this year, but you know, they're an amazing team. But if the Cavs face anyone else in the finals, I think they're going to have a good chance. Toronto's going to be a tough matchup for Cleveland, but ultimately LeBron and Kyrie have been fantastic this year. And if the role players can just be even average, if J.R. Smith can play a little bit better, because he's been really bad since coming back from injury, if Kevin Love can pick it up a little bit, he's been struggling here the last couple weeks. It just depends, man. Like the pieces 3 through 7 have to play better. And if they do, then the Cavs, I think, will run through the East. If they don't, then I think they're going to have a couple of scares. But, hey, I'm not going to go against LeBron, though.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think it's going to be third year in a row. I know it's going to upset some fans, but I think for the third year in a row, it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the finals, which will be just as fun to watch, I think, as the first 2 years that it happened. So,
yeah, it's what we all expected. I mean, and for a good reason. These are super talented teams with amazing superstars on them.
And that's what we want on the biggest showcase. You want some of your biggest stars. And we want to watch LeBron. We want to watch Curry. One last thing real quick. NBA MVP.
James Harden.
All right. I can't get away from the triple-doubles thing, man. I'm going Westbrook, but I will not be surprised if they give it to Harden.
Hey, he has a good argument.
You know, the votes are pretty much already going to be in, but I think that's going to be a fun series to watch in round one. So, yeah, so with that, we're going to jump out of here. I think another fun show in the books. Again, thanks as always to Ian for jumping on with me. It's always fun chatting here. It's always great having you guys out there listening to us and enjoying. And making this at least part of your podcast rotation. So, you know, enjoy your week. Enjoy the start of this home stretch for the NFL draft. Enjoy the NBA playoffs if you're watching them, the Stanley Cup playoffs. Whatever you're doing, just enjoy. Have a good time. And be sure to catch us next time right here on the Gridiron Graduates. Until then, take care, my friends. We'll see you.